Hey guys, we're back. Week
this
three.
Is attempt number two at recording this because I didn't plug in my microphone.
Yeah, new podcasters, we always forget things, you know?
Yeah. All right, we should just dive right in. What do we want to hit first?
Okay, so I am very excited to say that Taylor Swift has been spotted out and about again,
yes,
which makes me sound a little bit like a demois-like person, but it's fine because I'm really excited because she's always in hiding, which I appreciate because she deserves her privacy, but I'm so excited.
I missed her face.
Yeah,
does not post on Instagram.
Yeah.
Unless it's a promotion. Sorry.
But she does that really strategically, though, because when she is on Instagram or TikTok, like, to promote something, she seems very genuine, and and she takes, like, it is, like, a good 2 weeks that she stays on.
Yeah.
But I will say it's not, like, one day.
For, like, a month. Yeah.
But honestly, she deserves it. She's been going hard for, like, 16, 17 years.
Yeah, that's true. I'm very excited. I'm hoping she should go to the Conversations with Friends premiere.
Oh my god.
With Joe, I'm really hoping that she goes.
I haven't read any Sally Rooney books, I gotta be honest.
I've read Normal People. Really,
I saw the show Normal People.
It's like basically the same. It's taken me a while to get through the show because I like read the book and I know all the like horrible things that happen and I don't want to watch it because I like, oh, it was so good. It was a really good book. Sally Rooney's writing is really hard to read, though, because she does not put quotation marks when people talk.
I was about to say, I heard that she doesn't put quotation marks.
It's really annoying.
I feel like I wouldn't be able – I know that some – I guess you can probably get used to it once you, like,
it took me, like, four chapters to get used to it. I was, like, really confused. And then eventually, like, it kind of just flows. There's also, like, really only two characters talking for the majority of the movie, of the book. But yeah, I still have to get Conversations with Friends, and I have Beautiful World, Where Are You? But I don't, because both of those books have a lot more characters than Normal People, so I'm a little bit worried.
I've kind of lost sight on what a normal chapter in a book is supposed to look like, because I just read Pride and Prejudice for a literature class that I'm taking, and like
I still have to finish
chapters
it.
In Pride and Prejudice are 3 or 4 pages, and then you're on to the next.
Yeah.
So I always forget that like a normal chapter in a book is usually like 15 pages on a normal one. But I will say I also prefer books where the font is bigger on the letters and they're more spread out.
Yeah, I had to do I've been trying to finish Pride and Prejudice for like 5 months. I've been audiobooking it, but it's just it's a lot. I have to like pay attention a lot more because it's the writing is so much harder to understand. So yeah,
Jane Eyre was harder though. I read Jane Eyre last year, and the language was even harder.
Really?
It was like so many pages, and the font was even smaller. I swear to God, it was like a size 8 font. it was really hard to understand, and the writing was so old. It was a good book, and like it was interesting, but I'll stick to my like romantic books, like that are made in the last 10 years.
Yeah, but, I just started Malibu Rising.
I've never heard of that.
It's Taylor Jenkins Reid, who wrote Seven Husbands and One Hugo. It's her
newest book.
I
still haven't read Seven Husbands.
I have it if you want to borrow it.
Oh my god, yes. Please lend that to me.
I have like her 3 popular books. But I like use like a online library app to like called Libby to get audiobooks. So like they're not always available. So I like put them on hold, and then when they come available, like that's just when I read the book. So I got a notification that like, oh, Malibu Rising, the audiobook's available. So I was like, I guess I'll read that one. So most people start with like Seven Husbands or Daisy Jones and the Six for her books. But I was like, I'll just start with the most recent one because it was available.
I also heard about that book. I haven't read it yet, but I want to, that Daisy Jones and the Six or whatever.
Yeah, I just
and I know that they're making a movie, and I know that like Suki Water as in is like Sam Claflin, who I love.
Yeah, it's
I can hear a little it sounds a little underwater. Is that me or you?
I don't know.
A bit underwater. Okay, sorry,
you sound
guys.
Fine.
Okay.
I don't know. Maybe it's me. Do I sound underwater?
Maybe it's me and my blind optimism. Sorry, Taylor Swift. Force a habit. It's fine. You sound good. It doesn't matter.
Okay.
Anyway, sorry about that, guys. My little interruption.
Okay. So, speaking of singing, Taylor and Ed, there's a new song.
Yeah. Was it The Joker and the Queen?
Yeah. Which
I'm not going to lie. With Ed's new stuff, I really thought it was going to be like a upbeat pop thing, and I'm not like sad, but I wanted something to dance to a bit.
I think it makes sense, seeing as it's like they're advertising it as this like companion piece to Everything Has Changed.
That's true. Oh my god, the kids in the Everything Has Changed video are gonna be in the video for this, and it's like 10 years down the line or something, which is insane.
It's so cute. It's so clever. Leave it to Ed and Taylor to be like, honestly, we're gonna make the first music video just a giant Easter egg for 10 years later.
I love how, like, long they've been friends.
I know, it's so cute. And I like that, like, Everything Has Changed was, like, on Taylor's album and Ed was featuring. And now this is on Ed's album and Taylor's featuring. It's like, so cute. The, like, flip-flop. It's just,
I'm excited. On the new version, on, like, the Taylor's version of Everything Has Changed, they still had Ed go in the beginning. You ready to go? Like, they still had him do it, which is funny.
Yeah. Oh, so good. Man,
I'm excited for it. I feel like it's going to be a new song to cry to.
Drops tomorrow or tonight at midnight. Tomorrow. I guess.
Oh my god, I'm excited for that.
That's going to be.
Remember
really
when All Too Well, like, obviously, like, Taylor's version dropped, but then the music video didn't come out until like 7 p.m. the next day.
Yes,
that was so stressful for me because I had like a test or something during that day, and I was and I was waiting for the short film.
We hung out and listened to Red. Taylor's version for the first time.
That was a fun night.
That was really fun.
I have some really funny videos of us from that. Yeah. Night. I mean,
so that was fun.
My roommates told us to be quiet.
Yeah. Well, my roommates were getting annoyed with me, so I came to your apartment because I was like being really annoying. I did make them listen to like two of the songs. So I was like, "You're living with me. You literally can't get away with just not listening to this album." And I have consistently made them listen to. That to it, and they were like, two of my roommates were in my room, we were all hanging out when the short film dropped, and I literally just like plugged in my headphones and fully ignored them and just watched it.
I love that for you.
And they were like, "What are you watching?" I was like, "I'm busy."
I'm like, mood.
They had no idea what it was. They were like, "What is the girl from Stranger Things and Dylan O'Brien doing, like, making out?" I was like, "It's art."
Oh my god, so I've loved this like band for a while. Like, I love Haim. Yeah. I've like had a big thing with them recently. Like, every single day I'm listening to them.
I think I saw you post one of their songs on your Instagram, and I was
it's my hyperfixation song of the moment.
I need to watch the first pizza.
3 a.m. I'm obsessed with that song. Like, now you're calling. And I don't know, just the production on Women of Music Part 3 is really good. And they're feel like overall, and they're super underrated, but I also love the fact that even though I only became a fan in the last few years, it's really easy to like basically learn their discography, because at the moment they only have 3 albums.
Yeah.
So, and also I'm seeing, like, we're both seeing them in May, which is like super exciting.
Hopefully COVID doesn't ruin it. I have so many concerts coming up.
I have hope.
Because I'm really scared Lord is going to get canceled because it's such a small venue.
Oh, it's like Meridian, right?
Yeah, I'm really scared it's going to get canceled. But hopefully not. When's this supposed to be? May. Or no, it's April 31st or May 1st. I can't remember.
I mean, I did see an article this morning that said that, like, Doug Ford is planning to start, like, lifting restrictions again pretty soon. But, like, everything ends up – like, I understand that, like – I'm not going to get into politics right now. anyways, it's kind of hell here in Ontario. That's all.
Yes, it's really annoying. I liked it better when I was in New York.
I'm going to New York soon, which I'm excited for.
Oh, you are? When are you going?
Yeah, I'm going end of April, like right after exams are done.
That's so fun.
It wasn't even my idea. I wasn't like, usually I'm the one who's be like, "Mom, can we go here?" My mom like comes to me and she's like, "Hey Maya, do you want to like go to New York after you're done school this year?" And I was like, "Yes, I do." And I'm seeing Beetlejuice. We already got tickets, and I found out that the original cast, like minus like one girl, like Sophia, because like she like left. They're all coming back. Like, Alex Brightman is coming back. Like,
oh my god. Yeah, when I was in New York, I got to see Moulin Rouge with the original.
How was Moulin? Did you see Aaron Tveit?
Yeah.
I'm so jealous. I have such a crush on him.
It was, like, outstanding. I saw it with my best friend. We got tickets that were in the pit. So, like, we were on the mezzanine floor.
Oh,
we were like, cool. It was so cool. It was amazing. It was outstanding. I know a lot
it
of
looks
people,
like a really good production. Like,
it was
production,
like, it was just
insane.
It was just so fun, even though it's like sad. And the music, they are all brilliant. I was a little bit like, is Aaron Tveit gonna be good? Like, this man was on Gossip Girl. Like, I didn't even know he was in it before. But he was brilliant. A lot of people were like worried about.
He won the Tony this time.
Yeah.
But the funny thing about him winning the Tony Award 10 is that Tonys. He was. Well, the funny thing about Aaron Tveit winning the Tony Award is that he was actually the only nomination in his category, but there was still a chance he could have lost if he didn't get enough votes.
That's so
he was the
funny.
Only nomination, but he could have lost. He won.
Yeah, they won. They won Best Musical.
I do wonder if they would have won though if like COVID and hadn't been a thing.
Well, so yeah, there that's wasn't the
that
thing.
That many original musicals to choose from.
Exactly.
I still think that like, oh my god,
but it was still brilliant.
I think Beetlejuice is so underrated. It's just a good
musical. It's so good.
And it's funny when it like got viral on TikTok, which I was super happy that that happened.
Yeah.
But I was actually I'm gonna be a little stupid person here. I liked Beetlejuice before it became popular online. As soon as I heard it was gonna be a musical, when the original cast album came out, I listened to it and I was like, oh my god, this is amazing. And I was happy that it got viral online because the people that originally like reviewed it and like said wrote bad things about it did not appreciate it enough.
Yeah,
and
I was so surprised it got such bad
reviews. Hilarious. The music is great. It's super so wacky good. And funny. And Alex Brightman is just like an anomaly. Like
so
he's
good.
Amazing. And I hope he always gets the credit he deserves because even the voice he uses for Beetlejuice, he found out that he has some like vocal thing.
Yeah,
he's able
has,
to
like,
do it without
like notes
without
or
ruining
something.
His. No, no, like, or maybe he had something, but he can do it without ruining his vocal cords.
Yeah.
He has an extra like thing in his throat, which is like kind of really cool.
Yeah.
I think the sets are insane.
I love
the lighting for that musical.
Yeah, me and my sister are obsessed with it.
It's so good.
We've been obsessed with it since it came out. I have multiple recordings of her in her room belting Dead Mom.
Okay, do you know my Spotify like all-time listens have never recovered from my Beetlejuice phase? Like Say My Name and like Dead Mom and
so
Home
good.
Like are so
they're
far
so
up there.
Good. Yeah, my sister for her like they in grade when she's in grade 10 they were gonna do Beetlejuice as their like school musical.
Wouldn't that been illegal or something?
Well they the whole reason why they couldn't do it was they couldn't get rights to the script because normally
well,
what they do
when you think about illegal Heathers or illegal like legally
well they did Heathers her my school did Heathers but they wrote the script
did?
Like they wrote this, they rewrote the script, which is what they were going to do for Beetlejuice, but they couldn't get the rights to the script because it was still running. So, and they did for Heathers, they did the movie they rewrote, not the musical, which is why they could get rights. But for Beetlejuice, they wanted to do the musical and they couldn't get the rights to the script. So they didn't do it, but they like she auditioned with Dead Mom and oh my God, I would like our rooms are next to each other and I would hear her like in the shower belting Dead Mom. She was good, but it's a really hard song to sing.
Oh,
like,
it is.
I was like she
was with those
like
squeals
out.
Kind of in it.
Yeah.
Like
it's, it was really like, look, Ella, my sister, is a very talented singer, but even she was like, no, it's really hard. Like, it was really hard.
She listens
hard.
To this
even,
podcast, she's going to be pissed at you.
I know. Even, like, Sophia Ann Caruso, who, like, does it for the, like,
yeah, she
was
destroyed
the original,
her voice singing
she,
that song.
Yeah.
It's like, a lower the key. It was insane.
Yeah, and she also, like, wasn't even the best, like, I don't think she was the best one who sang it. I think the girl that replaced her.
Yeah,
better.
She deserves Presley. She deserves so much more credit. She was great. She put on like a good show. I just got a random call from like I just got a fake call from Edmonton, Alberta. I don't know anyone who lives there, but thank you. I just think Beetlejuice is a super underrated show overall. Just as like
so good. I want to see
like,
it. So
I understand
badly.
That it got popular online and whatever, but I feel like overall as a Broadway production, it doesn't get the love it deserves.
No, that's
it's
true.
Just really well done. And also, it's, Alex Brightman, like, apparently, like, improvs, like, all the time when...
Yeah, I wanted to
and
see
also,
it
it's
so badly.
And also, it's a lot more dirty than people realize. There's a lot of dirty jokes in the songs, too.
Yeah, it's definitely... Well, there's literally a whole song, Creepy Old Guy.
Creepy Old Guy.
It's so good, though. Yeah, no, it's brilliant.
I love how self-aware it is.
Yeah. Yeah, but one of the things, going back to Moulin Rouge... one of the things that I saw when I was like looking to see what like the because I knew it wasn't the complete original cast, the girl who plays Satine, it was different and it was like the understudy and I was like, oh, I want to see like what people thought and a lot of people didn't like her. I really liked her. I thought she was really good.
I think that like it's I understand that like some people on Broadway sometimes have off days, but I also think that it's kind of greedy for people to get mad when an original cast member doesn't perform at a certain night, because people work their whole lives to get on Broadway. And people like
it's so many shows.
People are also like super talented. And yes, I understand like you might go to a show to like see a certain person, but as most people who like see Broadway shows or like know about the Broadway industry know, like you're not always going to get to see
exactly
an original cast member. But like, understudies and swings are there to like pick up the slack and do just really, as well. They don't really get enough talented. Love.
Exactly.
Super talented.
And I think I
saw an understudy. I didn't see, like, when I saw Mean Girls, Taylor Louderman wasn't there that night performing as Regina, but the girl who performs for her, I think her name's Jonalyn Saxer. I might get that name wrong. She was great. I guess Taylor Louderman might have originated the role on Broadway, but she filled in her. She was great. And understudies and swings just don't get enough.
Because I think I've probably only seen like two or three shows with the original cast. But I also, like, when I was younger and I would go to shows, like, I didn't know the difference. Like, I was just there to see the show. I didn't know. It was only once I was like older in high school. But I mean, then COVID happened and I didn't see musicals for 3 years.
Yeah.
But like, I honestly never even, I was like, I never even realized. And then now I was like, I didn't even realize it was going to be the original Broadway cast from Moulin Rouge until I read the playbill. And I was like, oh my God, this is literally who it was. But the Satine was different. But she's been doing it for the past couple months. Sorry. She's been doing it for the past couple months. So it wasn't like it was her first night, but she was really good. The music was great. Just all around, dancing was so good. It was just...
You weren't forgetting that Mean Girls closed on Broadway. I fully forgot that happened.
Oh my God. Oh, I wanted to see it so badly.
That happened like a while ago.
COVID had other plans. Yeah. Same with Legally Blonde. Oh, I want to see it so badly.
That's so weird that you brought up Legally Blonde, because I was literally about to bring up the fact that every single year, every few months, I go through a MTV search for like the next Elle Woods phase. Or there was like an MTV, I don't know if you know about it, or maybe you know something about it. There was an MTV reality show in like 2007 or 2008 where Laura Bell Bundy like was leaving the show. And I think when she was like, even like while she was on it, the show wasn't doing like that well. And I think they wanted to like keep it on Broadway longer and like make their money back still. I don't know if they had yet or if they just wanted to make more money for it. And they basically made an MTV show and had like this group of girls audition to be Elle Woods, and whoever won the reality show got to be on Broadway and play Elle Woods on Broadway.
Did they?
But it didn't really solve anything, and the show ended up closing anyways. But the funny thing is that I watched basically the cast of the show in like April 2020, like when quarantine was still like very new, you know, how everyone was doing Zoom, like casts of shows were doing Zooms and whatever.
Yeah.
So the cast of the show did a Zoom, and they talked about like, obviously reality shows are never actual reality.
Yeah.
They were talking about how, like, just how much was edited on that show to make stuff look real, when a lot of the time, whenever they showed, like, any of the girls fighting, none of it was real, and they just edited it to make it look like it was happening.
Oh, yeah. Most of the time, they're not even fighting about the thing that the audience thinks they're fighting about.
They also made mess-ups on the show, like, if they were, like, because a lot of it had to do with challenges, and that's how they would, like, rule who would come the next week and who would leave.
Yeah.
And a lot of the time when they showed a mishap during one, they would make it seem much worse than it actually was. They even had this challenge where they basically had like cast members from the show come to like perform a scene, and they had this character drop a line. Because you know how like on Broadway, if someone like forgets a line, someone will have to improv?
Yeah.
The thing is that they had a challenge and they made someone from the cast like pretend to drop a line so the other girls could like improv it in. But the problem is that this was supposed to be like an audition, and they were saying that when you're in an audition room, the person you're auditioning with like is reading a script so you can like say the lines back to them. So it was stupid for them to do this challenge where they had someone pretend to drop a line, but it's an audition. So that person should have, so it was a fake thing, and then they were saying it was unfair, because when you're auditioning for something, someone's reading a script to you. You're not supposed to fix it for them.
Yeah.
They were saying how like stupid it was, and also they had like Hayley Duff, not Hillary. Hayley Duff was I don't know what her role was. She was like on the show and she was like helping the, she was supposed to be some kind of like advisor. But the thing is that she was on Broadway for like a few months as like a stunt, and she was like, I know how hard it is being on Broadway. The blah blah blah.
I don't even remember her being on Broadway, but I mean, I guess she was.
She played like Penny in Hairspray for like a few months. But the funny thing is there was a girl. Random. There was a girl on the show. Her name's she goes by Lena. Lena Hall now, I'm pretty sure. But she used to be went by Celine, which is her real name. And she had actually already been on Broadway, but someone like referred her to the show. And she was basically doing this show. She was on for like a few weeks before she got eliminated, but she had already been on Broadway and someone
she, like, didn't even need to be on this random show.
So she didn't they just I guess needed more people or something.
Probably.
But she ended up literally winning a Tony, like for being in Hedwig and the Angry Inch.
Yeah, oh, I love that musical too. So. Wow, that's so random. Okay,
so basically, well, this is also not a part of what I was going to say, but I can lead into it. So this morning I was on Instagram, as one is when they wake up,
obviously,
first thing in the morning. And I saw that Tom Holland was on BBC One, like with like this Greg James guy who I know all like the BBC One people because I always listen to the British radio station YouTube videos.
Me
and
too.
They were playing this game called like standing up or sitting down, and they basically it'll be like a wheel and they'll like land on a person and they'll have to call them and guess before they call them if they're standing up or sitting down. And guess who Tom Holland called?
Who?
Timothée Chalamet. And he answered. And he answered, and they were literally just talking like they were best buddies. And I was like, get these two in a movie together right now. Oh my god,
yes. They're like, that's so funny, because they're like...
They were literally talking so casually.
Timothée Chalamet's just like the American Tom Holland.
Well, you know what people say about Timothée Chalamet? That he is, he's American in the same way that Andrew Garfield is British. It doesn't seem right.
Yes, yes, he should be British. But I mean, he is French, but like he should be British.
Chalamet. He's like fluent in French and it's so sexy.
I know. He was like, when he was doing like Dune press and they were in France, he like did a whole interview in French and I like saw it on Instagram and I was like, oh my God, I forgot that his name is Timothée Chalamet. Obviously he's French, but I like forgot that he just spoke fluent French and he's having this whole like interview with these like French journalists. I was like, holy shit.
Yeah, oh my God.
It is French.
And you know, so Zendaya's in like a Squarespace ad for like Super Bowl. And you know who directed the ad?
Who?
Edgar Wright. And I need her to be in an Edgar Wright movie. Like,
yeah, that's such a random thing for
him to do. I really loved Last Night in Soho. Like, when
me
we
too.
Saw it together, I was like, I loved it. I don't care.
It was so good.
It was so girl boss.
It was so good. It was.
Yeah, no, but Zendaya needs to be in an Edgar Wright movie right now.
Yes. Oh, I'd love to see her in something horror-esque.
Yes. Oh, my God.
Because I don't
know that she can do it because the way she acts. Because
I mean, look, you could say Euphoria has some horror elements, but I'm talking like full blown horror. Speaking of horror, I just saw Scream, the new one.
How was it?
Really good.
Can I be honest? Can I just reveal something that people might be disappointed about? And I think you'll be most disappointed. I've never seen any of the Scream movies.
Well,
never. Not a
one. It's okay. I've only seen the first one, but it's really good. I really recommend it. I wasn't.
Wait, how was the new Scream?
It was really good. So I saw it with two of my roommates, with Celia and Emily, and it was really good.
Was it like scary or was it just like funny?
Well,
like
slasher movies aren't really scary. It was like there were jump scares, like as there always are in the Scream movies when Ghostface pops up. And I won't spoil it for people because it's still in theaters. But I will say the main like girl, so like the new final girl, which is like Vanessa from In the Heights.
Oh, she's the final girl.
Yeah, she's like the new girl.
Does that mean Jenna Ortega did?
She's also in it. I'm not saying anything.
I really like Jenna Ortega. She's
going to
be
watch. Her performance.
In the next few years, I need to see the fallout, by the way. Jenna Ortega, she's going to be one of the it girls in the next few years. She's already like coming up. People are already appreciating. Like, I remember seeing her in You and being like, this girl can like really
I remember act. Watching her on Disney Channel.
Oh
when
God.
I was like,
wasn't
10.
She that Stuck in the Middle show or something?
Yeah,
I think she's like a really good actress. Really,
yes.
Good.
Anyways, back to Scream. So basically, her, I really liked. I can't remember the actress's name, but I really liked her in The Heights. I thought she was really good. She was a little bit stilted in Scream, just because I don't think it's like her strongest genre. I don't really know what other stuff she's been in, but
I think
she's
been in a lot of
she's been in a lot of Latin movies yeah. and stuff, but she was like, I don't think she was bad. I don't think she was bad. I think because it's such an ensemble movie, a lot of the other characters like elevated her performance. Like Jack Quaid from The Boys was in it. He was brilliant.
I need to see The Boys like right now.
So good. Watch it. You know, also, Courtney Cox, Neve Campbell.
My Spider-Man Funko Pop came and it didn't get lost in the mail. It arrived.
I'm very happy for you.
And I was really sad because then it went out of stock and I was really afraid that it was lost forever. Okay, continue. Oh, no. I apologize.
Anyways, yeah. So, like, you know, they brought back all the OGs from the first one. They even had – I know you haven't seen the first one. Courtney Cox, right? I know you haven't seen the first one, but FP from Riverdale, he's in it, the first one. He – plays a character that I want to say.
Wasn't he a villain in the first one?
I don't want to know. I don't want to tell you if you haven't seen it.
Okay, sorry.
But he even comes back in a couple, in a fun, creative way. His character is in it, and surprisingly, the de-aging CGI was not terrible. Like, it wasn't bad. I was like expecting it to be really crusty because like he's a lot older than he was in the first one.
Yeah.
So I was like, there's no way. Still find
him sexy.
He still is so hot. But yeah, Courtney Cox, David Arquette, and Neve Campbell.
It's funny though because Courtney Cox and David Arquette are not married anymore, but they have a child.
Yeah, but they were really good. Like, I think they had some scenes together and they were really, like, they were really well done. And you can tell that, like, they don't hate each other.
Which is good because they have a child together.
And I thought the storyline was really good. I thought, like, the characters who were Ghostface, it's always very clever. The movies are very meta. They're very social commentary. They're very in on themselves. So I thought that it really, what they did for who was Ghostface really worked. And that was good. Some people said it was better than the first one. I don't think it was better than the first one. I think it still had some issues that the first one didn't. And I mean, the first one's always going to be iconic to me, but yeah, no, this one was really good. I also, like, I watched a YouTube video before, like, basically recapping the like, because there's five Screams, right? Recapping the, like, other three that I hadn't seen. And those ones actually seem really good. It seems like it's a movie series that pretty much has, like, stayed pretty good. I think because the movies don't take themselves so seriously, people don't really like when they're really meta and weird and kind of like stupid, it works because they're not trying to be serious horror movies. They're trying to be like fun slasher movies where
it's been like a trend recently with horror movies, basically making sequels to the first movies and acting like the bad ones basically made in between didn't exist.
Yeah.
Because, like, you know how there's, like, a lot of sequels made to movies, but then they're kind of half-assed, and then they'll make one now, and they'll make it much higher quality, and they'll act like the ones in the middle just didn't happen. And honestly, like, good for them. But it's kind of funny how nowadays a lot of the things in the movie, like, industry just, they you know, a lot of things are remakes of older movies. And sometimes, like, obviously there's a lot of originality, but at the same time, it's kind of sad to see people, like, not appreciate or, like, not make new stuff. But I will say, like, I will make exceptions for stuff like that because, for example, Steven Spielberg's West Side Story, he expressed that was first kind of, like, musical that he loved. And it's a reimagining of the musical from Broadway, made in 1960, not the movie musical made. And I feel like that's a reimagining is very different than making something because you know it'll be a cash grab. Because, like, exactly. West Side Story actually didn't, it really wasn't a cash grab. Like,
no.
The timing was unfortunate. And I saw it, like, the day it came out because I was really excited and my sister got us tickets and I thought it was phenomenal,
I saw it alone because none of my roommates wanted to come. But Mike it was Feist actually really.
Was, by the way, Mike Feist was robbed of his Oscar nomination, but we'll get to that later.
Yeah.
But no, honestly, I thought it's definitely all so different good. Stuff. Because, like, for example, Jordan Peele, who's made Us and Get Out, and now he's making Nope.
Mm-hmm.
His material has been so original and, you know, so true to him and, you know, just the commentary about the world that he wants to make. And it's so refreshing to see. And, like, the screenwriting is amazing. And this, like, the cinematography in those movies are insane, and I just the acting, Daniel Kaluuya is just like, he's an anomaly, and I was so happy that he got like the love he deserved.
I know, he's so talented. Get Out came out,
and now he's gonna be in the new movie again. He's gonna be
I think he's gonna be in Nope.
Kiki Palmer's gonna be in Nope, and I'm happy Kiki Palmer's gonna get some love.
Yeah, I saw Daniel Kaluuya in Judas and the Black Messiah.
Oh, I didn't see that one.
Well, because every year I always watch, I do like an Oscar Best Picture, Best Actor, I watch all of them. He was
maybe before the Oscars, so deserving this year, of that Oscar. Like, we should watch them all like in a row together.
Because they, he was brilliant in, he was so good.
Did he win? I knew he won the Golden
Globe. Yeah, he did. He won Best Supporting Actor.
Okay. He's great. He's just wonderful. And also just the way his eyes can tell you everything. Because like eyes are so important in Get Out.
He's such like a physical actor, if you get what I mean. Like his face is such a good tool that he uses for his acting. Is like just his face, like the way he's very good at not speaking and just saying everything with his face. Like he can be completely silent in a scene and you can get shivers just by like looking at his face.
Yeah, you know exactly.
Brilliant.
Honestly, similar thing with Florence Pugh, like in Midsommar.
Yes.
Or Midsommar, I still don't know how to pronounce it. Her eyes are so telling in that movie.
Oh my god. Her, she's definitely someone.
It was kind of traumatizing, and I've only watched it once, but it was super well made. Ari Aster is kind of insane, but I still haven't watched Hereditary because I'm kind of scared of it.
I saw Hereditary. They're both brilliant, but I am a little bit terrified of him. Like, what does he dream about at night?
Yeah. The funny thing is that people talk about how insane Midsommar is after they get to like Sweden and the whole everything starts up, but like the beginning is the fact that like know about what her sister did, that's traumatizing too.
That like was insane. I did not expect that. I was like,
I feel so bad for her. Like she's going through a lot of stuff in that movie.
Poor Danny. Yeah.
And then I still can't do the Florence frown face. I'm not very good at it. You can't see us, but we're trying to do it on camera.
Yeah, it's hard. Really hard, but she talented, 10 out of 10, superb.
This is why she's one of the
needs her Oscar,
right, and she deserves it.
She needs her Oscar. Yeah.
Also, I love like the flavor she brought to Yelena in Marvel. She's just she's everyone's new favorite, and you can tell.
I think she probably is one of the characters.
She's still for the girls. She does not belong to any guys.
She is the character that I'm the most excited to see how they weave her into other people's stories, because I want her to interact with every single character.
Said he's talked to her.
Oh my god, really?
Give us a Spidey and Yelena team up right now.
Oh my god, yes. Because I keep forgetting that like they don't all know each other because they've all been in separate movies, but I just
even Harry Styles is in Marvel now, which is kind of insane. Now it's a prime opportunity for him to interact with Tom Holland because I always just wanted them to interact because they're two people that I really love. But now they're technically in the same, now they're in the same universe, like it's prime opportunity time.
I know.
Also the fact that Harry's Thanos' brother, all like the heroes who are still alive who were like affected so much by Thanos' snap are gonna be like, why don't you stop your brother? Which is why I understand that like, right now he has to do with the Eternals for some reason. I don't know the history of him, which we'll probably find out. But like, he's still the brother of the person that like snapped away half of humanity. So I want to see how the other like main MCU characters deal with that if they find out about him, because it's interesting.
I'm sure they will find out about him. I'm sure they will. Because I have like done a little bit of research into who his character was. By research, I mean I watched YouTube videos.
Same.
And I read articles. And from what I understand, Thanos was like the son that got shunned away. And so Harry Styles' character, he has basically just been like vibing on like ruling all these people and being like the golden child and like kind of just being a menace. His character seems like he's just kind of a menace playboy who like he's just like I think he's gonna cause some trouble. I think he's gonna stir I think he's gonna stir the pot a little bit, which I'm very excited.
Especially since he's like a flirt.
Yeah, like his whole character is just like
I understand why Chloe Zhao like wanted him specifically for the character.
Yes, he the characterization.
I'm gonna be honest about something.
This character makes a lot of sense.
I'm gonna be honest. I think I might have said this in the last episode. I fully don't remember if I did or not.
Yeah.
In Eternals, I just feel like Salma Hayek was very, very stiff.
Oh yes, he's talked about it in the
Not all the acting in that movie was that phenomenal. I
Kit Harington stole the show. Ajemma Chan.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah.
I love them.
Speaking of Tom Holland though, because this will bring me wonderfully to my next point. So Tom Holland's currently on his Uncharted press tour. If you don't know what Uncharted is, it's basically it's a video game, and it's this character called Nathan Drake, and he finds treasure, and he's like
Indiana Jones type vibe.
And basically the movie is supposed to be an origin story of Nathan Drake, because in the video games he's an older guy, I think like 30s 40s,
yeah. And he's already from what I have read in my quick Google search, was like he's like already a little adventure man in the video game.
Yeah. So basically, it's like an origin story of that character. So he's young, and then he teams up with like this
Mark
guy,
Wahlberg.
Sully, to go find treasure. And basically, last week this article came out that. So basically most people know who've been online that Mark Wahlberg is kind of like an insane like gym person, and he
he's the biggest gym rat ever. It's like 4 a.m.
early in the morning, and he has all the special gym things. And I guess Tom Holland and Mark Wahlberg were hanging out one evening, and Mark wanted to gift Tom this special gym tool thing. It's like this weird massage thing, but the thing about this massage thing is that it looks a bit like a sex toy. And so when Mark gave it to Tom, he thought he was giving Mark like Tom didn't know what it was, so he thought that Mark was giving him like this weird toy. But there's also like more to the story, because people have been commenting online about it because Mark like offered to like drive Tom back home, and then basically Tom thought that like Mark wanted to like do stuff with him. I don't know. But then apparently Tom was like, one of the people interpreted like Tom was like, well, that's Hollywood. And I was just like, oh my god, the fact that this story is even out in the world.
Just imagining him like
Tom has
Mark
no
Wahlberg's
shame.
Car like petrified, sweating. He's like, I don't know what to do, because he's like at the beginning of his career, he's like, well, I guess this is what they say happens in Hollywood. I guess I'm just gonna have to do this.
Dead. Absolutely dead.
My god.
Tom is that, honestly, he is that. I wonder though, because he says that he's gonna focus on like in the next few years he wants to be in more like indie stuff.
Yeah, because he's been mostly blockbusters.
And
I'm interested to see.
He's also gonna be in
indie stuff.
Yeah, he's also shooting some Apple TV show this year called The Crowded Room. It's based on this book called like The Eyes of Billy Mulligan, I think. And it's this guy who has dissociative identity disorder.
Oh, interesting.
So seems to be a. And I think that's why Tom's been growing out his hair. I'm pretty sure the guy had like longish hair.
Yeah, because I was like, I'm not vibing with this rat hair.
Well, it was good when it was like half length. Like,
yeah,
the
now
way
it's
it was
too
at the
long.
Spider-Man premiere, now it's too long.
Now I don't like it. But I mean,
now
he's still beautiful, but
now it's
I'm
a bit greasy.
Still,
it's turning into like Harry Styles 2014, 2015
when,
greasy.
Yeah,
actually,
when I was
Harry
like,
Styles does 2014 hair was good. 2015 was grease galore.
But. Yeah, it was like, does he just use Head and Shoulders 3-in-1?
Bye. Bye.
All right, shall we shift to our main
topic? One thing before we shift to the main topic, last week's Euphoria was insane. Like, Zendaya's getting that second
my
Emmy.
God.
There's no way she's unless someone gets a better performance than that, she's
my
getting
God.
That
this,
second Emmy.
This the opening sequence, the actress who plays her mom,
she
brilliant,
that.
Knocked it out of the park. That whole scene, Storm Reid, my god, all of them.
Storm Reid deserves some scenes where she's not crying, but
yeah, like this poor child only shows up when she is being like just like manipulated and gaslit by her own sister, like Jesus
seriously.
Christ.
And the fact that like Zendaya was able to just fully embody someone who just will do anything to like you know, get a fix, and
also Elliot
to manipulate
pissing me off.
Oh my god, I knew that he was like crap because he like basically encouraged
her.
I knew he was crap,
but I was like, I love Dominic Fike, he's so hot, I'm gonna ignore it. And then he just kept getting progressively worse. And I was like, and then he tries to like be like, oh, I'm going to be a good person and like tell Jules what's going on. Jules also, honey, she needs to start making some better decisions.
Yeah, she really does. And
she needs to go like, back she's to the, therapy.
Obviously, like, obviously she cares about Rue and she wasn't in the wrong but for telling.
She needs to work on herself.
Also, didn't Elliot know about the suitcase?
Yes. And
so he basically watched Rue's mom like flush the drugs down.
Knowing what would happen to Rue. Yeah.
Because he doesn't care. And he was like, I liked her the way she was. I'm like, shut up.
Shut up. She was unhealthy. She was
when literally she ran into the street. Herself. When she ran into the street, my jaw dropped. I cried like visibly. Here's the thing. Sometimes I'll be like, I'm crying when I'm tearing up. I was fully crying multiple times during that episode. That was insane. And also,
I have
one thing about the show recently.
Yeah.
Was that basically the reason why the show looks very different from this season till from last season. Last season was shot all on
Kodak.
Exactly. And it really works. It's really interesting. And I like how they toned down the crazy makeup this season because I know that the aesthetic for the first, but it like really works this season because I feel like everyone's going downhill, not up.
Yeah, exactly. So, I think the first season was definitely
I'm
like.
I'm not gonna spoil this part, but the whole thing with like when she went to like Lexi and Cassie's house and the whole blow up, that was insane.
Oh my god. Also, okay, going back to the different look of Euphoria this season, when I was like watching, they do like the behind the episode, like after every episode. Yeah, I was watching the first one, and like the cinematographer and Sam Levinson were talking about how Sam Levinson is the creator and stuff. They were talking about how, you know, like the first season, and I was like, yeah, this really makes sense. The first season was very much like all of the characters are trying to romanticize their life. They're trying to like, basically like put glitter over their life and try and make everything better. But this season, it's not working anymore. The seams are all ripping. Everyone's relationships are fraying. All of the decisions that they made in season one and the beginning of season two are all starting to come apart. And you definitely see that in this episode. So this episode was definitely like, because I saw a lot of criticism. People were like, nothing's happened this season. It's just montage after montage. But I think everything that was all the little seeds that were being planted in the first four episodes were, they came to a head. They exploded in this episode, and my god, that whole when Rue like shows up at Lexi and Cassie's house, I was like, oh my god, she has not interacted with these other characters the entire
it feels like
season.
A crossover.
I was like, oh my god, I forgot. And when they're all like, oh my god, and when Cassie's like, oh, like take it one day at a time.
I was, and she
like,
was so proud of herself for that.
She was like, was like, oh my god, I'm being so smart and being so helpful to this. And then Rue is like, hey, Cassie.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, girl.
She was like, as soon as she went, always knows. I was like, oh, no, I know what's about to happen.
Because Rue always knows. She always, like, this girl is very observant because she's always just, like, in the corner. Just, like, no one ever notices that she's there. She's always, like, in the corner because she's just on her own agenda. And she doesn't care enough about anybody else's, like, life that they're going to worry about her overhearing them. You know, because they know she's got her own problems. But when she saw Cassie and Nate in that truck when she was driving by on her little bicycle high as a kite,
she used that.
And my god, the explosion that is going to come in the next few episodes. I'm very excited to see.
You know what bothers me, though?
What?
So I've been seeing online, because you know there's been a lot of discourse between this season about Sam Levinson's writing.
Yeah.
But my problem is that everyone's like, oh, after this episode, everyone's eating their words about Sam Levinson's writing because this episode is really good. But my problem is that, of course, this writing's the writing on this episode was good because the character that Sam Levinson cares most about is Rue, because Rue has a lot of inspiration from his life. So if anybody's gonna have insight into what the character and what it would do and what
exactly
it would be like, it would be Sam. So obviously the writing was really good because this episode strictly for the most part followed Rue and like just how
her downward spiral, because he has firsthand experience on what it's like to exist as a person like Rue.
My problem with the fact that he's the head writer, and not just head writer, he's the only writer to my knowledge of the show. Correct me if I'm wrong, but I'm pretty sure he's the only writer. And that's
It always says directed, written by
Sam Levinson. Is that he has characters of, you know, different like ethnicities and races in the show, and that's not that's not like a universal experience for just a straight white man. So I think it's unfair for him to be writing the experiences of characters that are not of his own
people,
I also and think, then acting like he knows their experiences, because it's even important, even if he's still the head writer, or the only writer, I wish he would get some info about
let Hunter write another episode.
Honestly, that's why that episode was so beautifully written, because it was from the experience of someone who understands
exactly
what it's like to be like that. And I just feel like if Sam Levinson really doesn't get any
bring
input
Hunter
about
Schaefer
other characters,
on.
It's wrong.
Let her write another episode of the season. Let her co-write.
Hunter is so great.
Oh, she's so talented, man.
And she's such a great she draws too. And
oh my gosh, so talented. And she's
fashion. Move on.
Yes.
We move on to our
moral of the story. We love Euphoria.
Yes, we do. But it's still a mess sometimes, but it's okay.
It's a mess that we love to talk about.
Yes, there's always lots of... So basically, I know we're 45 minutes in, but we want to get to the thing that's been the most...
The creme de la creme.
Yes, exactly.
The meat and potatoes.
Yesterday... Yes, exactly. all the nominations for this year's Oscars were released, and there were good decisions, there was bad decisions, and we're going to discuss. I think we'll try to discuss category by category, and then
we don't really apply. We can just go by what it is on the Oscars website and just go down.
So the first category that it says is
actor in a leading role.
So the nominees are Javier Bardem from Being the Ricardos, Benedict Cumberbatch from The Power of the Dog, Andrew Garfield from Tick, Tick, Boom, Will Smith in King Richard, and Denzel Washington in The Tragedy of Macbeth.
So first of all,
I have not seen Being the Ricardos, but
I have only seen Tick, Tick, Boom out of these movies.
Me too.
I also heard the same thing.
And I just heard that that nomination didn't really have to go to him.
Yes.
And I just heard that the acting in that movie was just fine. It wasn't bad.
Yeah.
It was just fine. It wasn't.
Yeah, really I heard good. The exact same thing. I heard it was the movie was obviously the acting was going to be good because it's Nicole Kidman, Javier Bardem, they're talented actors.
Yes.
But they didn't. The performances weren't to the point that they should have been for a movie about someone as iconic as Lucille Ball. People were expecting this very, very well written, acted period piece shebang, and it just kind of delivered as a mediocre movie.
Yes. Benedict Cumberbatch in The Power of the Dog.
I really want to
see this movie. Is it released on Netflix already? Is it out or is it not out yet?
No, I don't think it's. I think it's still.
Yeah,
because
the thing
theaters.
Is, it was already released.
We can see it at Princess Cinemas, though. It's playing at Princess.
Okay, so we'll need to see that.
We'll have to see Licorice Pizza there too.
I heard that he did amazing in that role.
Yeah,
that
I heard everyone's role.
Also, just know that Benedict is great, and he probably deserved it. I have not seen the movie, but I've heard what it's about.
Yeah,
and it sounds very intriguing and also kind of traumatic.
Yes,
but I want to see it.
Yes.
So the one that we've only both seen and that we're both crazy excited about is Andrew Garfield in Tick, Tick, Boom.
Oh,
which is so
brilliant.
Incredibly deserved. We both know that he just put a lot of thought and love into that role, and he really embodied Jonathan Larson, and he wasn't
to a T.
Exactly. And I also love the fact that even though biopics are, there's a lot of discourse around whether or not they should be made, they did get, Lin-Manuel Miranda, who directed the film, did get, permission and help along the way from Jonathan
His
Larson's
family.
Sister.
Yeah.
So we know that. And, his sister said that seeing Andrew play Jonathan Larson made her feel like she had more time with her brother. So we know that they did right by that. And I also think it was different than just a biopic.
Exactly. That's what I was about to say.
Somewhat autobiographical, musical play
And I think it's such
wrote about
Tick, Tick, Boom. And I think Tick, Tick, Boom as a musical, the one-man show, kind of one-man show that Jonathan Larson put on was such a unique performance. It's such a unique musical experience that the movie wasn't just a filmed version of the Tick, Tick, Boom musical. It was a reimagining of what that would have been intertwined with Jonathan Larson's life, which I think I really liked. And I think it reminded me a lot of Rocket Man, autobiographical of Elton John's life, but at the same time it had these fusions of Elton John's personality that made it more like larger than life a little bit, that made it like deviate a bit from just your classic biopic, like something like Bohemian Rhapsody. And I think Tick, Tick, Boom like managed to marry like, this is a story about Jonathan Larson's life while also being this like spectacular musical like celebration of art. And I just think he delivered such a great performance that
Tick, Tick, Boom, the movie was able to like be its own thing and have a lot of creative like liberties taken in the like the not sitting down at the piano aspect of the movie while still staying true to what the movie was supposed to be, because like a lot of time a musical can become a spectacle instead of just a like,
and it can
like,
lose itself are, in
like,
that
a form of escapism, and it's like you don't want it to be in like specific reality because then you don't get to just sit down and enjoy something that doesn't happen in real life. But I loved the fact that, you know, there wasn't too much spectacle, but there was just enough to make it entertaining.
It was still grounded.
A musical that kept you, it kept you like watching and it kept you entertained. And it also just made me cry multiple times. I also think that the soundtrack, amazing. I also love the fact that Andrew actually learned to sing for the role, which that's dedication. So basically,
he's so talented.
And Andrew Garfield have the same massage therapist, and the massage therapist asked Lin-Manuel Miranda asked the massage therapist if Andrew Garfield could sing because he wanted Andrew Garfield for the role, and then the massage therapist lied and said that he could when he actually didn't know, and then he told Andrew Garfield, and then Lin-Manuel Miranda was like, "Can you sing?" And then he was like, "Oh, when did you film me?" He said, "In a year." And the Andrew was like, "Yeah, I can sing." So he put a lot into this role, and
he lied and had to learn how to sing because he lied and had to get himself out of it. I would love to see him in a Broadway musical, because I know he's brilliant as a stage actor.
I think I can hear a garbage truck outside.
I can hear my roommates walking around.
I couldn't hear
around.
You for a sec. You cut out.
Oh, can you hear me now?
You're kind of lagging on camera for me.
Oh. My Wi-Fi just dropped a bar.
Oh, wait. Now I think you're okay.
Okay, Wi-Fi just dropped a bar. We've been having issues.
I don't know if you can hear. There's like a garbage truck outside that's going.
I can't hear.
You can't hear me?
No, I can't hear the garbage. You're good.
Oh, okay.
I can hear your voice. I can't hear the garbage truck, so you're good.
What else was I going to say? I don't know. I was going to... Oh, it started again. I don't know. I just think that it was phenomenally done, and you can just tell how much care was put into that movie.
Yeah.
And I just absolutely loved it. And I also, I remember what I was going to say now. The thing about Andrew's voice, though, is that even though I personally do think he has a great voice, the interesting thing about it is that it sounds like, so you know how Lin-Manuel Miranda, he's gotten better over the years, but you know how he doesn't have the greatest voice?
No, he is not a great singer.
I think it sounds more, I think Andrew's voice sounds like the person, it's like when you write something, but you're not like that amazing of a singer, but like you still have a good voice and you're able to put, it sounds like a director's voice kind of. It doesn't sound like an Ariana Grande type, Cynthia Erivo type thing, but it sounds like someone who wrote the music and is putting in their emotion into it. That's what it is. I don't know if that makes any sense.
No, I understand. Yeah. Yeah, 100%. I hear what you're saying. All right. Do you want Will us Smith, to go straight to actress? Actor and supporting, or do you want to just go to actress?
Okay. We have not watched any, I don't think any of the movies in actor in a supporting role.
No, I want to see Belfast, but I have not seen it yet. So for actress in a leading role, we've got Jessica Chastain, The Eyes of Tammy Faye, Olivia
Andrew
Colman, The Lost Daughter, Penelope Cruz, Parallel Mothers, Nicole Kidman, Being the Ricardos, and Kristen Stewart, Spencer. I have not seen any of these.
Can we talk about the snubs first?
What?
Okay. Can we talk about the snubs?
Sure. Who do you think they are?
Okay, so Nicole Kidman, I heard that her performance, again, from Being the Ricardos,
mediocre,
was just fine. It was not award-worthy. It was just fine. But something about, voters this year just apparently absolutely loved it. I understand that it was her first role in a movie, and that can't always be expected, but I think Rachel Zegler was snubbed. She put so much love and just heart into being Maria that I was captivated by her. And honestly, brilliant. I think a lot of actresses can have like that moment where their first movie, they can get nominated because they were just that good. And I think Rachel Zegler easily could have taken the place of Nicole Kidman in this category.
I 100% agree.
Disappointing that she didn't. And I also just think, here's I am like, they're like, like 4 out of 5 of these nominations are white women, and I think that I know Rachel Zegler is like half, like she's like she's half white, but she's still like Latina. So she put in a better performance than like Nicole Kidman. So I also just think with everything, it's not just like with the fact of like wokeness or anything. I honestly just think that it's insulting for like a beautiful movie full of like diversity and people of different like, you know, backgrounds and different like, like just to highlight the Latinx community, or I don't know how people, Latino community, however people like to be called with that within that community. I still don't really know. I try. I just think that there was so much love and care put into West Side Story that Rachel Zegler,
especially if
beautifully embodied Maria, that she deserved that nomination.
It's just disappointing that like a white actress who didn't give that brilliant of a performance, Nicole Kidman, she's had groundbreaking performances where she's been deserving of having an Oscar nomination. Yes, and this wasn't it. And the fact that she still got an Oscar nomination just like annoys me, because I know that there were a couple other actresses who were more diverse, who a lot of people thought had better performances. I hadn't seen I haven't seen a lot of the movies that were even up for like Oscar contending, just because I sometimes like watching trashy movies instead of really well-made movies.
Same.
So I don't know like how overly talented those other people were, but it's just like a little bit frustrating that so many actresses who have gotten those, they've been nominated, they've won Oscars, they've won awards, are just being put in the category again over actresses who might not be as like, their names might not be as recognized, but who gave more groundbreaking, better performances, just like ticks me off.
It makes me annoyed too. And also, I have not seen it, but I heard that Kristen Stewart was just like great in Spencer. I need to see it. I have not seen Spencer.
Me too. Yeah, she. Everyone did say
that people are very happy that she got her nomination.
I am happy that she did.
I heard that Lady Gaga was not snubbed, and she just put in an okay performance.
Yeah,
I understand she wrote like an 80-page biography on like whatever her name was, but like you should never expect to get an Oscar
nomination. No. Like, also, like,
I don't know who she was. I know, but
I haven't seen it.
Painting a lot for it, to be honest.
But I know from the people that I've talked to that have seen House of Gucci, she was not very good. She did not have a good grasp on the role, and it was just kind of mediocre.
I love The Star Is Born. I thought her performance was great.
And yeah, I feel like she was very deserving of the Oscars.
Into it.
She was very deserving of the nomination.
I don't think Lady Gaga is a bad actress by any means. No. I think she's a phenomenal.
I just think this wasn't really the performance. I just don't think this was a good performance, I mean, she's and that's good okay.
Performer. That's what she
yeah, the actors of Lady Gaga. Have good actors have good performances. They have bad performances. Those kinds like that it's mean just
they're not good.
Exactly. I'm very. Yeah, I really want to see
actress in a supporting. I want to get an actress in a supporting because I'm very excited to say that I don't want to really go. This is the only one I've seen because, again, I've really only seen West Side Story, Tick, Tick, Boom, really musicals this year. Ariana DeBose was nominated for West Side Story, and she, I really, I just
so want her to win so badly. I want her to win, me too.
She is was the heart so and soul deserving. Of that movie, and even though I thought Rachel Zegler was phenomenal as Maria, for me,
Ariana DeBose, she
stole the show, and she
did.
Her take on Anita was just.
Was.
I have, she put everything she had into that role, and I had seen The Prom, and here's the thing, I thought she was good in The Prom, but that was, you know, they don't really have a lot of material to work with when
That movie was struggling no matter how much talent was in
they
it
had in that, yeah exactly
like, they Meryl had James Streep Corden
movie, you know what I mean, but West Side Ariana DeBose, she was the best in West Side Story. She was crazy good. She really understood her character, and you could see that
100%.
I specifically the scene when she finds out that Bernardo died, just
oh my, like
just heart the devastation in her eyes, and especially the song "A Boy Like That" with her and her and Rachel Zegler.
Yeah,
just I think that was the best like acted song, if that makes any sense.
Yes,
because you could just see 100%. From both sides how much they were just grappling with the situation that just happened.
Yeah.
And I also think that her performance in America just gave so much nuance to her like take on Anita.
I love that song so much. It's so good.
And I love and the her so and also the fact that she's like a triple threat. She can dance, she can sing, and she can act.
Yeah.
That's like she's just phenomenal, and I just really hope she, like, whether or not she wins the Oscar, that she goes way up from here, because she deserves it so much. And I'm happy that Steven Spielberg, like, chose her for the role, because I can't, honestly, I cannot see anybody else playing it. And she put so much, like, of her own nuance to the character, and you could just see it and understand it, and just her performance was just, I loved it so much. She was probably amazing. From what I've seen this year, she probably had my favorite performance of the year, personally.
Yeah, I think she did, for me as well.
I don't know who Jessie Buckley is. She got nominated for The Lost Daughter. I've not seen that movie yet. I've been meaning to see it.
It's because, supposed to be really good. Yeah. But
Judi Dench still killing it.
Always.
Got nomination for Belfast.
Kirsten Dunst was supposed to be amazing.
I knew she could act, because, like, obviously she's you know, she's been in movies for a long time. But I want to see what she does with this role, because I've really only seen her in, like, you know, teenage type stuff.
Yeah. She was supposed to be amazing, and then King Richard was supposed to be a brilliant movie.
Yeah, I heard that people just really, really loved it, and it was. And yeah. Also, like,
so I have no doubt that this nomination is definitely deserving. I do really want to see it. It's
animated feature film.
Okay, I'm not a huge animated person, so.
Flea, Luca, Mitchells vs. Machines, and Ryan the Last Dragon. I have seen three of these five movies.
I have seen zero because I. Okay. Just generally am not a fan of animated movies. I just, they're not my vibe.
Wax poetic about these movies then?
What?
Can I wax poetic about these movies then?
What is wax poetic?
Just go on and on about how much I love them.
Oh, just what are you talking about? I was so confused. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I want to use fancy language because I'm a fancy girl. Basically, so Encanto, I know that, you know, some people were saying that maybe it was a bit, that it was overrated, that the people, you know, it was overdubbed, but I really, really loved it. I also think that Lin-Manuel Miranda's music, there was so much love put into that music. And I just think, I love the fact that even though, you know, obviously it's a Disney movie and there was magic in it, mm-hmm. I really do love the fact that at the core of Encanto, it was about family and loving your family. Mm-hmm. And it wasn't about, you know, there might have been like a small relationship aspect with like one of the characters, but, you know, one character didn't even want the guy that she was supposed to be married to, so she didn't marry him. But I just love the fact that at the core of the movie, it was about family, especially about a Colombian family, of like a very diverse Colombian family, different colors. And, you know, it was, I'm sure that a lot of people were able to see themselves in that movie.
Yeah.
And I just think, you know, no matter like what family you come from, I love the fact that it was about family and just appreciating the people around you, even if sometimes you don't get along and you have your bad moments. It's just really beautifully done.
Yeah.
And I just think movies about family should be made more, which is also why I love the Mitchells versus the Machines, because basically it's about this family who is bringing. Oh, are you okay?
Yeah.
It's this family who are bringing their daughter to university. And along the way, there's this whole thing that happens with like robots and aliens and whatever.
I saw a road trip movie
with like really cool animation. The animators were like the company. It's the same as Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse. So the animation was insane. And I thought it was just another fun family movie. I like the fact that a lot of movies about families are being being animated movies nowadays, because it just makes them really fun and like a lot of people can relate to them. It's also just about a girl growing up and like going out and to like go to university for the first time, and I just really liked that. It's just a dysfunctional family kind of learning to appreciate each other. And then Luca, which I just thought was so cute, and I don't even know what to say about Luca. I just, the animation was beautiful. Like, everyone knows in the last 10-15 years, the animation from Disney, Pixar has been like just the most amazing thing.
Stellar.
Like, you look at it and you're like, this looks real, or this looks so magical. And this, even like little, if you look at like an animal and like they have like little hairs on them, it's like a dog. Every little aspect is there, which is insane. And I just thought Luca was so beautiful. Like, it takes place in Italy. So just seeing Italy animated in like an Italian town, I just thought it was so pretty. And I don't know, another thing, like, it's not about family, but it's about friendship. And another, like, also kind of a coming of age story, because it's kind of a family learning to like let their child go out into the world.
Yes.
And kind of make their own choices. And I just thought, you know, friendship, family, you know, sea monsters, just beautiful visuals in like animated Italy. I thought it was so pretty and just so well done. I really liked Luca. It was just fun. It was really fun. It was very cute and very fun, and I really liked it. So I have not seen Raya and the Last Dragon. I've not seen Flea, but maybe I will, and then I'll get back to it another day. So yes, do you want to start on cinematography?
Well, we are already at an hour, so I was thinking we just jump to Best Picture, and then next week we can dive more into the other ones.
Sounds great.
So Best Picture, always big category. We've got Belfast, Coda, Don't Look Up, Drive My Car, Dune, King Richard, Licorice Pizza, Nightmare Alley, The Power of the Dog, and West Side Story. Really stacked.
Do you
want to
start from the bottom up?
Sure, we can start from the bottom up. West Side Story.
Okay, so West Side Story.
10 out of 10, so deserving, 100%. Deserved. Winner, winner, chicken dinner.
So it's its own thing. So because West Side Story, I'm not sure if it won Best Picture in 1961, but I know that it was up for it.
No idea.
And, it's just, it's a beautiful reimagining. Steven Spielberg put so much love and care into the casting and just the overall, like, just like the script and everything. It was beautifully done, and it 100%. Really deserved of its Best Picture nomination.
Yeah. Power of the Dog, don't know yet, have not seen it. Nightmare Alley, Guillermo del Toro, fun fact, I went to high school with his daughter.
What?
Yeah.
Ooh, wait, but
her name was Marissa del Toro. How? He's from Toronto. He lives in Toronto.
You're lying to me.
I'm not lying to you. I'm literally not lying to you. Her name was Marissa del Toro. Her parent, like, him and her mom, they're divorced, and her and her sister live in Toronto. And I didn't know they were related until she, like, said something about how she has been, like, how she's been to the Oscars. I had a class called Equity and Social Justice with her. She was a year older than me. She's really nice. She is
He maintains residences in Toronto and Los Angeles.
I told you. Yeah, I was like friends with her.
Did you ever like talk? You're lying.
I wasn't close friends with her. I was friendly.
This is
I would
insane
talk
information.
Yeah, I would like, this I is, like, always forget. But I would like talk to her in class. Because I had drama with her boyfriend. So like I was friends with him. And then I would just, like, I would just, like, talk to her in class because, like, she was really nice. She was, like, really sweet. She was, like, a little artsy kid who – she's at University in Boston now.
Wait, Marissa.
Marissa's the younger one. She's a year older
than
me.
Insane, dude.
Yeah. I had no idea. And then I was, like, Marissa del Toro. And then, it's so funny. So, she was really sweet, like, really down to earth. I do remember her talking about how, like, her dad, like, won an Oscar. And she was talking about how, like, she got to go to LA and, like, go to the Oscars. And it was, like, so insane and so weird, like, coming from Toronto where it's, like, not very, like, she doesn't live in LA. Like, it's not. She's not surrounded by those people.
That's insane, dude. I can't believe this is the first time I'm hearing this from you.
I forgot about That's it crazy. Until I saw that. Yeah, she's really sweet. I'm sure her dad's really nice. Okay, so I'm sure the teachers had a great alley. Time during I'm sure the teachers had a great
oh
time
my God.
During teacher interviews.
Right? Oh my God.
Yeah. Nightmare Alley also
I heard it was like quite good. I just heard it wasn't as best work, but like obviously like it's hard to top like Shape of Water, stuff like
exactly.
that. But
and
like
Pan's
I heard it was Labyrinth. Very well done. Yeah. Oh yeah. So Licorice Pizza,
really
I'm dying to see.
I'm dying to see
too. Like, I hear that there were some problematic things about it. I'm not condoning it.
What problematic?
But I'm just excited for
there were problematic
apparently,
things.
Apparently there was like some weird thing about like the age difference of the characters in the movie. And also about I think there was like some insensitive Asian comment made, but I heard there was
I'm
not condoning it, but I heard there was more nuance to the comment than people were expressing.
Gotcha.
And I'm not condoning it, but I'm pretty sure it was supposed to be a self-aware comment that was just not done well.
Got you.
But I still really want to see it just because Alana Haim I love so much. And I also heard that she could have like that she was very much like right under on the list of like nominations that she could have gotten nominated easily. That she just didn't there was only five, like not eight. So then there's King Richard, which I have not seen. I heard it was very well done, and I really want to see it. And I heard it was just done with a lot of care. And I'm excited that, like, like, here's the thing. I really want Andrew Garfield to win the best actor, but I did, you know, Will Smith might be getting one of those, like, kind of lifetime achievement Oscars where it's not necessarily about the specific performance, yeah, but about the fact that he's been doing it for a while. But I kind of, you know, I really want Andrew to win because if there's anyone who, like put a crazy good performance in it, is Andrew. But 100%. There's Dune. What do you think about Dune being nominated for Best Picture?
I think it's deserving. I think, look, I think it's not going to win just because I think it's strongest in the cinematography and soundtrack category. Yes, I think that's 100%. Where it's shown. I think the acting was brilliant. I also think
it could win for costuming.
Yes, 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 that as well. I
want Cruella to win for costuming, though.
Here's the thing. I think Dune was made really, really well. I just think a lot of people did not expect a, like, sci-fi fantasy movie to be that complex. If you know what I mean? Like, yes, a lot of the reviews that I saw from it were people being like, this was so confusing. And I honestly don't think it's that confusing. If you just, like if you were going into the movie expecting it to be a Star Wars movie, you would be confused. Because it's,
see, I was confused because I didn't really know much about it. But yeah, after, like, I read stuff after I understood it, I just don't know if it was completely my cup of tea. But I know for the people that really understood, like, the plot lines and really, like, understood it for what it was, it's definitely deserving of it. It's just not something that I'm used to. So
yeah, I think if I was
more accustomed to that kind of thing, then I would understand its nomination more. And I'm sure, you know, I still don't know how to pronounce his last name. Exactly. I'm sorry that we're butchering your name, even though you're never going to hear this. I think he's just he knows what to do. And I also heard he didn't get a Best Director nomination, which I found kind of insane because he got, like, the Dune got all these, like, award, like, nominations, and then it didn't get a Best Director one, apparently, which is kind of weird.
Oh.
I just think he did a great job with the movie, and I also know, like, it's, again, it wasn't 100% my cup of tea, but I definitely don't think by any means it was a bad movie. It just wasn't my type of movie, but maybe if I watch it again, I'll understand it better.
Yeah, I think, like, before I saw the movie, my roommate, her dad, had seen it, so he kind of, like, told her a little bit of, like, background, so she told us before we went, and that's, like, that was, like, having that information, like, I don't know, I guess it just made it easier for me to understand what was going on, because I think it's one of those movies where, like, you can't zone out at any point because you're going to miss important information. But I also
think I might have gone to the bathroom during that movie.
You did go to the bathroom during it.
Bye.
I also think that because this is just part one of the first book, it's like there's a lot of information that we still don't have that is like what a lot of people are confused by that we will get in the second movie, seeing as the second movie will be the completion of the first
book. I'm excited for Zendaya to have more screen time.
Me too. I think
also, did you see that blind item on Zemwa about apparently, it might not be true at all, but I heard I think I might have sent it to you, that in Dune 2, apparently, this might not be true, so don't take my word for it, Robert Pattinson, Tom Holland, and Harry Styles are all shortlisted for the same role in Dune 2.
I didn't. It might not be true,
but I saw that on Demois, and I am wondering if it's true. Because, I mean, I wouldn't put it past it. Like, Dune was very, very well received.
Yeah.
The second one. I have no clue. Because I don't know if it's like a lot more stuff happening. So,
because I thought they filmed any of them. I thought they filmed the first and second one together. That's what I thought. They did not. Okay, because that's what I thought.
No, they did not. Okay, Drive. Okay, they did this movie, so we can, like, so
we've got Drive My Car. Have not seen it.
Okay,
I think it's a foreign film.
I
heard
that it was phenomenal. I need to watch more. I need to. Yes, Japanese. I need to watch more Japanese movies. I also need to watch more Korean movies because I also. Yes. I'm going to admit something right now that you might be really upset at me about. I still haven't seen Parasite. I'm so sorry.
That's offensive.
I know. No. I've never had a good. That role. This is. So stupid. I'll watch it with you. You'll come over. Look, you'll come over.
It's we'll a very. Watch it. I watched it the day of the Oscars. Okay. Like right before. So it's a I very Minari, hard which I really movie
loved.
To watch.
I really loved Minari. Minari. Oh, did I you love see Minari. It?
Oh my god, I loved
so,
it.
I cried.
It was my favorite movie of the Oscar movies. It was Minari. So okay. And Promising Young Woman. Oh, literally.
Okay. So amazing. Next is Don't and Look Up.
Okay. I loved it.
I don't know
it.
How I feel about this. Okay, so I don't know how I'm feeling about its nomination, but
I don't
I am
know how
happy
I feel about
like
the nomination
comedy,
either.
I'm happy that a comedy is getting recognized.
Especially for, like, when that's so politically charged.
But, like, yeah. So here's the thing. I know that its view is very, very divided on, like, who liked it or not and who like appreciated the social
commentary. Everyone who didn't like it didn't get it.
I really enjoyed it. I think that even though it was a very stacked cast, and that could have been done wrong, because sometimes you'll put like this really big cast of all these big names and then the script won't be good.
Yeah, I personally I think thought the it was very really well done. Good.
I was captivated the whole time. I thought it was a very interesting concept. I thought the time it came out was very interesting in. And I honestly, I know that some people were disappointed by the fact that it got a nomination over like Tick, Tick, Boom, which I think Tick, Tick, Boom could have taken the place of like, I don't know, like maybe Nightmare Alley or something. But again, I haven't seen that one, so I have no idea. And I heard that people were saying that it should have gone the place of Don't Look Up. I enjoy Tick, Tick, Boom more than Don't Look Up. I'm going to be honest about that.
Yes, me too. But I also am partial to musicals. But yeah, I also think Adam McKay is a brilliant writer-director in terms of he knows how to put – like he knows how to cast actors in roles that will be the most impactful. Like the fact that someone like Meryl Streep, who's like beloved in every role she is, he cast her as essentially like – Donald Trump. And I think that
she was great.
He's very clever. Yeah, like he's very clever in the way that he casts people and his script. I think it was very I just think it was a very clever movie that I understand why people would not and like it. The, I think it's scene very
the specific. Scene at the dinner table at the end. The dinner table scene at the end was just it was beautifully done, and you could just feel the emotion like coming from it.
I think he was able to make a movie so grounded. Yeah, yes. Well, I think it was well done.
I don't know how I think it could have gotten a nomination or couldn't or didn't, but it did get the nomination, which I'm not opposed to.
Then me either.
Coda, which I have not seen, but I heard that it's a great representation for the deaf community.
Me too. I've heard the actor who got nominated for best actor, he is the first. He's the first deaf actor to be nominated best actor. Yeah, because for The Sound of Metal in 2021, it was the supporting actor, one of the actors from the film. He was nominated, but for best actor, it's the first time they've had a best actress for a deaf actor, but they have not had for best actor. So I think that's great.
And then there's Belfast, which I've not seen, but I want to see. I know that it's completely in black and white, and that Kenneth Branagh really kind of made it based off his life.
Yeah, I think it'll be. I don't know a lot
about Kenneth Branagh's. Like, I came on. He made like Cinderella. He made like the Thor.
Yeah.
So I think it's like interesting to see what he's been a part of, and I really want to see it.
Yeah, like I'm not too well versed in the world of Irish politics. I know from what I've watched in Peaky Blinders, but it's very interesting to me. So I am very interested to learn more about the IRS because I thought that that was the tax people, and I did not realize that it was also the Irish Republican something.
Yeah.
So IRA,
there's
IRS,
a lot of, there's IRA, like three, four, Irish five, Republican six, Army. Seven,
I can't remember.
Best picture nominees.
Yeah,
there's 10 best picture nominees this year, so that's gonna be. I wonder. I always want to see what the vote looks like. I know we know who wins. Yeah. But I always want to see like what percentages of people.
Because I do not know who will win for this one. Yeah, I really don't know who is gonna win.
I think next time we'll dive into the other ones. Maybe a few more nominations, but we don't want to. It's already pretty long right now. So thank you guys for listening. This has been a highly caffeinated episode.
Yeah,
we hope that whoever's been listening has, you know,
if anyone
has been liking it. And, you know, if anyone's been listening, we appreciate you. And thank you for letting us share our thoughts. And we will see you next week, I guess. Bye, guys.
Sayonara, Sally.